Morning.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the king, the one who has been born king of the Jews?" And after they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star had been seen in the east and went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh.
Today we light the third candle of Advent, the candle of joy. With this candle, we remember and celebrate that the only lasting joy to be found in life is through Christ our Lord. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation.
It's always so good to see you every Sunday. I'm so glad you're here. All right. Well, I got to think, do you know there's only about 2 more weeks before Christmas? Yeah, who thinks it's already been a long time waiting for Christmas to get here? It's like this, it's taken forever to Christmas to get here. And I know at our house we have this is our Advent calendar, and there's different types, so different houses probably have different types. But each day you open up a box and we put a different symbol on our board, and it counts down the days until Christmas. And so each day we know we're getting one day closer. And here at church, we light the candles. Each week, another candle gets lit. And it's a matter of recognizing the waiting. Because do you realize that even in the Bible, in the Old Testament, people are waiting for the Messiah to come? They're waiting, and it's taking a long, long, long time. Now they know the Messiah is coming, and they're waiting. And I'm going to read out of Matthew 11, verses 3 through 5 this morning. And this is John the Baptist is in jail, and his followers go to Jesus. And this is what they ask Jesus. They say, "Are you really the Messiah that we've been waiting for, or should we keep looking for someone else?" They're wondering. They're like, "We've been waiting for the Messiah. Are you it?" And then Jesus answers, and this is what he says. He says, "Go back to John and tell him about what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the deaf hear. The dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor." Jesus is saying, look, look at all the miracles that are happening right here and right now. You can go back to John and tell him that the Messiah has come, that I am here. And that is what we are doing during this time of Advent, as we are waiting day after day and week after week for Christmas. We need to take time to open our hearts and think about God, and think about the miracle of Jesus' birth that he gave us. Because what was the best gift we have ever, ever, ever received? Life? But what else? What did God give us that's big, big, big? Forgiveness? Jesus! He gave us Jesus! Jesus came. It was a miracle birth. It fulfilled many, many prophecies. And it was Jesus all along that was planned to come, and he saved the world by agreeing to come as a little baby and to be our Savior. And the miracle of his birth is amazing. So during this time that you're waiting for Christmas and all the fun that entails, take this time to open your heart and think of God and the promises he fulfilled, and think of Jesus and his willingness to come down and be born as a baby, and to give us salvation. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, thank you for sending your son Jesus to the world. We are so glad that we do not have to keep looking for the Messiah. Instead, help us use this time of waiting to open our hearts to Jesus and the miracle of his birth and the love he has for us. This I pray in your most holy name. Amen.
Well, good morning, church. Good to see you this morning. If you want to register your attendance with us through the app, that would be helpful. If you do not have our app downloaded, you can go to your app store on your smartphone and do a search for Wiley Methodist Abilene. You'll get a hit on that. We do a lot of communication through our app and our website, so that would be helpful for you, not just on Sundays, but a number of days during the week. I want to remind everybody that this afternoon is Christmas workshop. We will have opportunities for kids 3 years old to fifth grade to come and make 10 Christmas gifts for $10 and go give those to family and friends. If you haven't registered your child and would like to come, please bring them this afternoon, and you can register when you get here. Our men's breakfast is next Saturday at 7:30. Our candlelight service is Christmas Eve, obviously, at 5:30. And you'll notice in your bulletin that on the 26th of December and the 2nd of January, we will only have one worship service at 10:45, and there will be no Sunday school those two Sundays. So join us through that season. Let's stand and recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Go ahead and be seated, please. This morning, during the early service, we prayed for those who struggle this time of year. This is a season of joy, a season of celebration, but as Jeff mentioned, it's a difficult season for some as well. I know some of you have lost loved ones over the last year, and you're going to miss them as the family gets together and celebrate. Also, it's it's just a hard year for some people. You know, Christmas used to be my least favorite time of the year. And I've shared this with Jeff. I've shared this with the congregation. I've had to fight for joy ever since I've been born again. And God's been faithful, but it just doesn't come easy for me. Carlene drives me crazy sometimes. I'm just going to be honest with you. Just, she can't contain the joy that she has. But I love her. I really do. But I think there's some people here this morning that you really have to fight for that. So we want to pray for those who are having a difficult time this time of year. I asked the early service crowd just to raise their hand up if this is a hard time for them. Anybody? Anybody have a hard time? Amen. Okay. I know some of you have lost some loved ones. Amen. So that's the direction I want to go this morning. So before I pray, I want to encourage you just to get before the Lord, whatever that looks like for you, and thank him for this season. You know, thank him for his son that came in order that you and I could have life. And then thank him for the joy of the celebration of this season, but also pray for those that might be struggling during this time as well. So spend a little time doing that, and then I'll close this. Father, how you love us. Lord, and I just think about the sacrifice that Jesus provided on the cross. When we said it in the Apostles' Creed, he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, and then he suffered for us. So Lord, as Jeff preaches on that this morning, I pray that it really resonates with our heart, the value of this sacrifice. Lord, I thank you for this season. I thank you for the ability to celebrate. And I thank you for the joy that just resonates from people this season. But Lord, as I've mentioned and people have indicated by raising their hands, this is also a hard time for some. And so, Father, I want to lift those up this morning that are struggling during this time. Maybe the loss of a loved one over this past year, or maybe several years back. God, I just pray for, God, you do something supernatural there as they miss that person at the table, as they miss that person around the tree as they gather, Lord. I pray you do something supernatural there. And Lord, fill that void for your glory. And Father, those who are finding it difficult to celebrate during this time, those that are missing joy, I pray also that you do something there as well. Lord, in your presence is fullness of joy. So Lord, I pray this year that they experience your presence in a deep and a profound way. Lord, your joy is our strength. Father, if there's those missing strength during this time, I pray that your joy just flood their soul. Lord, I pray that this is a Christmas like no other for all of us. And I thank you for your son. I thank you for your love for us. Father, and we love you back with the love you've given us. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Father, if we continue to worship you, Lord, just let us sense and feel you tangibly this morning. You're so, so good. Lord, we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, Lord in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and glory forever. Amen. We'll go ahead and receive our offering at this time. God bless you, church. Welcome again to our worship service. If you are our guest this morning, we are especially glad that you're here. You know, I just hope that you feel the love of Christ in this place. And I hope you feel the love of His people in this place. I'm probably prejudiced, but I think we got some loving people here. I really do. I'm blessed to be part of this group with you. If you are a guest, there's a card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe that says guest. Would love for you to fill that out. You certainly don't have to do that, but at the end of the service, I'll be out in the foyer and would love to meet you, get to know you a little bit. And as been said a couple times, this afternoon is the children's workshop, the Christmas workshop, and this was a challenge to have this year. We had Carlene and Linda out for a week or more, and a lot of people stepped up to make this happen, and it's going to be great. If you have not signed your child up, it's not too late. Just bring them with you at 2 o'clock. Turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah 53. I want to set this passage up. Isaiah 53, if you have not read through Isaiah 53, man, just read that whole chapter sometime. It's really an awesome chapter. Now, this is the prophet Isaiah, and this was written some 700 probably plus years before the birth of Christ. And this is the same prophet, this prophet Isaiah. It's the same prophet that we will be reading here that said the virgin will be with child, and also said that this child would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. So it's that prophet, this prophet Isaiah, beginning Isaiah 53, beginning in verse 4. Surely He took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered Him stricken by God, smitten by Him, and afflicted. But He was pierced for our transgressions. Now, this was also foretold and written before they even invented the torturous death of crucifixion. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. And by His wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet it did not open His mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so He did not open His mouth. Verse 10. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush Him and cause Him to suffer. Verse 12. He bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Let's pray. Oh Lord, as we just sang, how You love us. We have invited Your Holy Spirit, and we acknowledge and trust that You are here. So Holy Spirit, speak to us. Surprise us. Speak to us in power and authority. Transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm continuing the Advent sermon series, the prophetic Jesus that did, and I've said this several times the last couple of weeks, but when Jesus came, it was planned, it was orchestrated, and there's a purpose in that, and that's important. First week we talked about that, the prophecies that promised this coming Messiah, and then last week we saw the prophecies that proclaimed Him as the holy and anointed one of God, God in the flesh. Today's message, we shift a little bit to the prophetic writings that He is the sacrificial one. He's the sacrificial one. Now,
I've been saying this, that it's important that we understand who Jesus was, that he is, and Jesus is. He's not just a good man, not just a prophet that had some wonderful teachings and did some miracles. He's not just a man. There's 354 or so Old Testament prophecies that we've been unpacking, a few of those that prophesy about the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. Now, these are important because if Jesus was just a man, it makes no difference. And I said this, I think, last week. If I were to die for you in your place, it means nothing. It might have saved you in that particular moment, but I don't have the ability to save you from sin and death. If the virgin birth is not true, if the cross didn't happen, if the resurrection is not true, then Jesus is reduced to just a good man. And all those things are foretold, and all those things are recorded. If Jesus is reduced to nothing more than a good man, then he is a human, sinful Savior. And a human, sinful Savior is no Savior at all. Is this on? Anybody listening? He must be who he proclaimed to be and who the prophets foretold that he was. We need a supernatural, sinless Savior that can say your sins are forgiven. I have purchased eternal life for you. That's what we need. That's what Scripture pointed to. That's what Scripture has revealed to us. And we're just going to take in this concept of him being foretold and coming as the sacrificial one. We're going to just unpack a few. I mean, like I say, there's 354 or so of these prophetic writings proclaiming about Jesus, but we're going to just look at four of them today. First of all, the Scripture foretold that the Messiah would suffer for our sake. He would suffer for our sake. Now, I want you to listen for a word that recurs here pretty often in verse 4 and 5 of this Isaiah passage. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Is there a word that's kind of sticking out there? Our. Our sins, our infirmities, our sorrows, our transgressions, our iniquities, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. He took our sin and placed it upon himself. By his wounds, we are healed. Now, so that was the prophetic foretelling of who this Messiah would be and what he would accomplish. 700 years before crucifixion was even invented, before Jesus was born. And here's what Jesus said in Matthew 20. He said, the Son of Man came to give life as a ransom for many. Came to give his life as a ransom for many. He is foretelling what was already foretold about him, why he came. Secondly, Scripture. Scripture foretold that the Messiah would remain silent in the midst of his suffering. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. That's going to be important in just a few moments. As a sheep before her shearers is silent, and so he did not open his mouth. So Jesus is on trial. He's in so we flip forward 700 years later. He's on trial, and he's standing before the high priest, and they have brought these they have paid for these witnesses to bring false testimony against Jesus, saying he's done things that he hadn't done. The high priest stood up and said to Jesus, are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you? But Jesus remained silent. It's almost like God knew that was going to happen 700 years before that. And then he's standing before Pilate, and the chief priests and the elders are standing there with him. And it says, when he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, do you hear the testimony that they're bringing against you? But Jesus made no reply. Like a lamb before his shearers, He remained silent. He did not open his mouth. I don't know about you, but I doubt I would be remaining silent when people bringing false accusations against me. Thirdly, Scripture foretold that the Messiah would pray for his tormentors. He made intercession for the transgressors. And so we flash forward 700 years after that was prophesied. We flash forward and Jesus is on the cross, and the people who brought false testimony against him, who got him charged, who put him on trial, the soldiers who nailed him to the cross are down there, and he looks down at them and he says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Now, that's hard for us, isn't it? I mean, certainly that to that level of forgiveness is really hard, but it's hard to just forgive like everyday stuff, isn't it? Confession time for me, for your pastor. This weekend, Cheryl and I were driving by a gas station, had a pretty good price on that gas, and it was packed, and so she needed some gas. I said, "Let's pull in to get some gas." So we're waiting in line. Everybody's waiting in line. We're waiting in line behind this pickup, and there was nobody in the pickup. And, I mean, we waited 15, 20 minutes. And we're beginning to kind of like, what is going on? There's nobody in the, So Cheryl went up to the, there was somebody in the driver's seat, I mean, in the passenger seat. So she went up and said, "Are you guys, nicely? Are you guys going to be a little while?" "And I don't know. He's still inside, you know." So we came back and sat a little while more. So I was, my pastoral stuff was being tested. And, we're a while. And so I got up, went in, and I politely, in the store, I said, "Can somebody tell me whose pickup that is right there?" And this man said, "It's mine, and I've got a problem." He didn't think they had given him the amount of gas he paid for. It was kind of interesting. And so I'm like, okay. And all of a sudden, this lady, I don't know who she was. She wasn't involved at all. She just said, "Everybody's standing in line. You just stand your turn." And that's when I fell on my knees and did one. No, I didn't do that. I didn't say anything that, you know, that I could be arrested for or anything like that. But in my heart, I was not happy. I'm like, who are you? I don't know you. I'm just asking if they would move. Can you move your pickup so that I, because the people had pulled in behind us and we were blocked, and it's all, it's a thing. Man, that's the kind of stuff when I got home later, I'm like, "Lord, help me to forgive, because you've forgiven me for a lot of stuff. Help me to forgive that lady and not hold bitterness in my heart." Man, just everyday stuff. But the Scripture foretold that Jesus, man, that's serious stuff when someone's just nailed you to a cross and you look down there and all the ones who are responsible for it are down at your feet, and to add insult to injury, they're gambling over your clothes. And you look down and you say, "Forgive them." That's the heart of God for us. It's important stuff. And then finally, Scripture foretold that the Messiah would suffer because it was God's will. Now this is where it gets really interesting. Isaiah, in verse 6, "We are all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." The Lord has laid on him our iniquity. Do you hear that? It's not like it didn't just miraculously, the Lord deliberately, intentionally laid our iniquity upon him. It was planned. In verse 10 of this Isaiah prophecy, "It was the Lord's will to crush him." Holy moly. That's Hebrew, if anybody wonders what that is. "It was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer." He laid on him our iniquity. It was his will that he suffer and that he be crushed for our sake. That's big love, church. "For all have sinned," Romans 3, and fall short of the glory of God. "God presented Christ Jesus as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. It's his sacrifice. He laid upon Jesus our iniquity, our transgressions. God did it. Why would he do that? Because he loves us. There is our very own Corey Wood put me onto this, I think, 2 or 3 years ago. Corey Migdal Eater, I believe is how you pronounce it. I had never heard of it. Corey kind of gave me a heads up about this. You can read about it, Google it, read about it. Migdal Eater, it's translated Tower of the Flock, Tower of the Flock. And it's around, it is a tower that's around the city of Bethlehem. And it's close to, I mean, David, the reason it says that Jesus was born in the city of David is because David was born in Bethlehem. Rachel, Old Testament Rachel, was buried there. Bethlehem has a lot of significance. So there's this tower that was there, and there's still, there's archaeological remnants still of this tower. And what the tower was is there were these priestly shepherds that would tend these massive flocks of sheep around this tower. And, let me back up. The people of Israel observed Passover every year, and every family had to sacrifice a Passover lamb for the forgiveness of sins for their family. And by best estimates of the population of Israel, what was at that time, they estimate that about 250,000 lambs, Passover lambs, had to be produced to satisfy this sacrificial atonement. So lots of lambs. Now these had to be unblemished, spotless male lambs as being presented as a sin offering. Now there's this tower, this Migdal Eater, Tower of the Flock, that these priestly shepherds that were appointed for this task, they would the tower, they would get in the upper levels of the tower, and they could watch over the flock, and they could keep predators away and people that might want to steal some of the sheep or whatever. They could watch over the flock and protect them, and when they saw one of the sheep that was close to having a lamb, they would bring them into the bottom level of this tower, and it was kind of like a birthing room for these lambs. And when the sheep had this little baby lamb, if it met the requirements, if it was male and if it was unblemished and spotless, they would take this little lamb in this tower and they would wrap it in swaddling clothes. It's almost like I've heard this story somewhere. They would wrap this perfect, unblemished lamb in swaddling clothes, and they would indeed lay it in a manger trough. And these swaddling clothes would protect the lamb so that it would not become blemished until they could get it to one of the families that needed to have this sacrifice. These lambs had one job in life. They were born to die. Precious lambs, unblemished lambs, spotless lambs. It almost reminds me we all, like sheep, have gone astray. John the Baptist sees Jesus walking by the Jordan and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sins of the world." I want you to thank you, Corey, for putting me onto that story. I love that. And you can read more about it. My wife actually put me onto this song that ties in so closely with this. It's a powerful song. It's called Wrap This One Up. I want you to listen to this song and let the Lord just kind of speak to your heart as you listen to this. Thank you.
the call of a shepherd in a field nearby to tend and to carry his flocks by night. They were not ordinary sheep, they were set apart, born to be passed over lands. And when a spotless male was born, he was held on the manger floor, swaddled up just to keep him calm until his time. And the shepherds sang, wrap this one up, he is a lamb without blemish. Wrap this one up, he'll make his way to the temple. The call of a mother in a town nearby to tend and to carry on this holy night. Not an ordinary child, but the Son of God, breathed by the Holy Spirit. And when the baby King was born, he was held on the manger floor. As she swaddled him up, she knew his time would come. As she sang, wrap this one up, he is the one that we adore. Wrap this one up, he'll wear the forevermore. He's come for you and me, he'll finally set us free. Wrap this one up, wrap this one up, he's the one. Gloria, a Savior on a hill nearby. All alone he would carry the weight of all mankind, becoming the curse for us. He gave his life, for he knew that his time had come. This one up, he is the lamb without blemish. Wrap this one up, he paid the price, and it is finished. But death would have no sting.
Yeah.
Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? I ran across a quote this week that I want to share with you. Spoke to me. We, this Christmas season, most Christmas seasons, we place our Christmas gifts under a tree. God placed His on a tree. Because He loves us. He is the sacrificial one. He's a Lamb of God. If you just bow your heads with me. Father, we thank You for sending Jesus. We thank You that it was not an accident. It wasn't happenstance. It was planned. It was Your will that He suffer for our sake. And by His wounds we are healed. And His punishments brought us peace. Thank You that little baby, that little child wrapped in swaddling clothes grew up, showed us how to live, and died for our sake so that we might live. We're blown away by that, Father. We're blown away at Your goodness and Your deep mercy, grace, forgiveness, and love. And we praise You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you don't know that Savior that did that for you, He knows you and He loves you. Please don't leave this place today without visiting with me about that. As we close with this last song, if you would rise, if you are able.
Bless the Lord. Worship your glory.
reminder, if you want to sign the petition for the Sanctity of Life for Abilene, you can do that out in the foyer as you leave. Jesus is the sacrificial one, the lamb wrapped in swaddling clothes that takes away the sins of the world. Go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you.
This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior, and wash me as white as snow, in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.